It is really good to be here today, and it's good to be here for multiple reasons. One of them, of course, primary, and that is to worship and praise God. And we've done so in song and in prayer and in the observance of the Lord's Supper. Another is a matter of mutual edification, in which we are encouraging each other in the service of the Lord. And today, to encourage our young people who have attained to a certain level of achievement in their life that will go with them and follow them for the rest of their lives, because they have completed the work as high school students, 12 years it took to get there, maybe 13 or 14 if you started as a four-year-old in preschool, and now you're finally graduating, and today, a little bit later, much will be said about your achievements. But today we want to remind you, as well as remind the parents and all of the audience, that this is a time when the eyes of the whole world are on our young people, wondering about them, wondering which way are they going to go, what are they going to achieve, did we do an adequate job preparing them before sending them off out to college and out into the world. I guess every parent gets a little bit nervous about this time of the year and that time of your lives. Have I taught them enough? Will they be able to survive out there? And most likely they will. Most likely. You see, your boys and girls had the privilege of being brought up in the Lord and in a youth program that gave them many exercises in developing their not only their faith, but their ability of expressing that faith. And they are well equipped in a very real sense to go out and meet the world. You know, a minority of the young folks in America today, and it was so when I was in high school and all of you at the different age brackets, a minority of the teenagers were dabbling in trouble and stirring up a little ruckus and got an awful lot of attention. Believe it or not, those of you who are fond of Lads to Leaders, and Dr. Jack Zorn is in founding the program back in 1968, it was that very thing that got his attention. The protesters who were using drugs and who were jumping off of bridges and who were doing all kinds of mischief were flooding the newsways of America. And Jack was alarmed that they were getting all the attention, because he fully believed that they were not typical of the boys and girls in America. He was convinced that the majority of the students didn't live those kinds of lives. And so he began the leadership training program that we love to call Lads to Leaders. For decades, to begin with, it was just Lads to Leaders. And then they added the young ladies, and they began to call them lassies, lads and lassies. And then they got into the leaderettes, because that sounded a little bit more palatable. And now they just call it Lads to Leaders, or more lovingly, L2L. That abbreviation says it all, L2L. But Jack founded that program, and this year there were over 20,000 already registered to be at the convention before the outbreak of the COVID virus. And it's encouraging to know that there are young people all over America and in some foreign countries, in addition to that 20,000, who prepare themselves in such a diligent way and in so many different avenues of expression of faith. And I was talking just last weekend. Kathy and I had gone to do a funeral for one of the brethren that we love dearly in Valdosta, Georgia. And the daughter was just about a year older than our youngest child and grew up in that youth program. And she was thanking me so much that we brought Lads to Leaders to Forest Park Church in Valdosta, because it had helped her so much in life. And she was 43 years old, I think, now, and doing very well for herself. I hope for the Lord. I hope that's the motive that all of us have. But the thought that I want to get across right here is that even though they're not all bad, and most of them are in fact good, the eyes of all are watching to see what they're going to become. as a result of all of this, we want to talk today a little bit about what's expected of our young people. And you know, what is expected of our young people is a lot more than just from the standpoint of what do the parents expect of them, what does society suspect of them, what does the school system expect of them, what do they expect of themselves. But the bottom line is, what does God expect out of them? What does God expect out of young people is what I want to talk about for the next very short time. If you'll open your Bibles, and young folks, I wish you would write this down in the Bible that the elders will give you later. Write down in the inside of one of the white sections back here. I've got some favorite scriptures written down in mine. A favorite scripture should be Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Write it down in your mind right now and later in your book. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Solomon says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near or nigh," in King James, "when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Solomon is advising young people of all generations and all centuries, remember your Creator while you're young, because there are days that will come in which many will say, I have no pleasure in them. What's that? The ways of the Lord he's talking about. And he wants them to remember the Lord while they are young so that they can develop the pattern of loving God and loving God's word. Remember the Creator while you're young and before those evil days come close to you to the point that you say, I have no pleasure in them. It is a sad thing that so many young people do leave the Lord when they leave home, but it doesn't need to be that way. And if you will, as a young person, and even to your younger children who are sitting in this room today, if you will remember the Lord and put Him first in your life, you will have developed a life habit, developing a pattern of choosing good choices. And then when you graduate and go off into the world, it's logical for you to keep making those good choices instead of being swayed by the world to turn into darkness. I had a ton of statistics. I'm not going to even quote them. I looked at a lot of statistics, but there was one very important one that I wanted to stress out of all of them, and it is that after age 75, there's only one person out of every 700,000 who is saved, who comes to be a Christian. That's a very overwhelming statistic. Of course, in that statistical study, it went all the way back to the time of their pre-18 years of age, and it was estimated as to how many percent of the young people became Christians and became saved individuals by the time they reached 18. And then they prorated it all the way up to where only one in 700,000 after they reached the age of 75. I have baptized a very few extremely elderly people in my years of preaching. I think about the oldest one might have been right here in this building, someone that was about 90 or 91 years old at that time. I can remember baptizing people that were in their 90s. I don't exactly know what year they were on, but it's been very few compared to the number of young people that I've assisted in baptism through the years. And then the numbers climb a little bit when they get into young adulthood, and they go up into, when they get into their middle years of their lives, the numbers kind of begin to slow down, and people seem to find it harder and harder to make the decision. The older we get, if we've not been used to serving the Lord in our youth, it seems to get harder and harder as we get set in our ways. So it's very important for us to remember and obey God while we are young enough to still have a tender heart and a tender conscience that hasn't already been rubbed to calluses through life's hard experiences. And we need to remember the Lord before we run into that time where everything else is more important because you're fighting for survival out there and you don't have time for God. The problem right now is that with teenagers, you also are being asked to take seriously what the Lord expects out of you at a time when it's hard to get serious about anything, because the whole world lies before you, and it's kind of like, what do I want to grab first? What do I want to do first? I remember asking one of my classes of teenagers many years ago, Chad, where are you? Many years ago, I remember asking one of my classes, I don't know if he's ever done this or not, but what they thought about young people becoming Christians and what they thought about how serious young people were about doing service for the Lord. And their answer startled me that day. I don't think I was prepared for it. They said, we're young. Those are things that we'll think about when we get older. But right now, we're young. We want to have fun. Now, they were very, very honest. And that's really about the way they chose to live their lives, wanting to have fun and didn't have time to make the heavier decision for serving the Lord. But we need to remember Him, and we need to start at a young age. So I'm saying that all of us older ones, we need to remember Him, but to you younger ones, you need to also start putting that into practice, even though you are young. We've seen a young boy this last month obeying the gospel because he had already taken seriously the challenge of the gospel. About 3 months before that, we saw another very young person, a young boy, obey the gospel because he wanted to serve the Lord. I don't ever want children to decide out of fear that they need to do something until they are old enough to feel mature enough to understand salvation and the sin problem and to be accountable for their life choices. When we get old enough to be responsible and accountable for life choices, we need to make sure that we're putting the choice to love God and serve Jesus and love Him for what He did for us. You need to remember Him because there comes that point of accountability where we all become sinners. I remember thinking that I was a sinner when I took cookies out of the cookie jar. Well, when you're really a little tiny, tiny child doing that, you're not hardly mature enough to reason through life choices. I never was even thinking about the life choice of whether I was going to be a sinner or whether I was going to live for Jesus. But rather, I was thinking about whether I told a little white lie to my parents or whether I had done something that I should not have done on my homework to try to get extra points. Whatever it was, children that are real young are not in the category yet of having to deal with life issues. They are able to learn, and they are soaking up like a sponge all of the patterns that they see set before them. Their older siblings, you parents, your children are absorbing everything that they see, and it's going to affect how they make life choices. But when they come to that stage where they truly feel like, I've got to make a decision. Am I going to stand with the Lord, or am I going to stand with the devil? When they come to that point in time, they need to confess Christ, and they need to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And from that day forward, they need to consider daily their spiritual walk with the Lord. God has a right to expect that. You see, God wants us to be dedicated. And the word dedicated usually means committed to doing a certain thing. And I think that's a good enough definition for it. But I'm going to use it in a different tense, and that is we need to dedicate our lives. And that means there we need to devote or set apart our lives to the service of the Lord. It doesn't mean that you've all got to become preachers or elders or deacons or Sunday school teachers. But when we dedicate our lives to the Lord, it means that we are going to devote attention to pleasing Him and serving Him in making all of our life choices. There are three examples that I want to refer to just briefly of young people that did this. Daniel, over in Daniel chapter 1, along with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken out of Jerusalem in the first seizure when Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews to Babylon. He wanted his soldiers to bring back the fairest-minded of the princes of Israel, the young children. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, you read about in the book of Daniel, they were four of those. Daniel, in chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8, purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat and the king's drink, but rather he sought the Lord to help him with just basically bread and water, but not to grow pale and weak and fall behind the others and thus to draw attention to himself. Well, it turned out that the Lord blessed Daniel, and he was extremely young now. He was in the category of the young children of Israel. And this is early on in Daniel chapter 1. And the Lord blessed him so that on basically bread and water, he fared better in mentality and in physical health than all the ones that took the king's great food and wine. God was on his side. But Daniel made a very strategic choice there, because God blessed him through the entire rest of his life down in captivity. Oh, you know the stories of Daniel in the lion's den, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, the three Hebrew children that were cast into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to the emperor's idol that was so luxurious and tall. These individuals were blessed by God because they, as young people, made the right choices. God expects all of our young people to dedicate themselves to that purpose. I'm going to always put God first in my life. Secondly is David. David, the song says, only a little boy, David. Now, we've always thought David as a little boy might have been, you know, just a small, small child, but he probably was somewhere in the category of some of you teenagers, guessing, maybe even in the closer to you who are graduating. But he wasn't allowed yet to go out and take care of the sheep by himself. He was sent out on other missions. And finally, it got to the point where he gained enough responsibility that he would be out there with the sheep and had to kill the beast that would come to eat the sheep. David began early on choosing and dedicating his life to loyalty to God. And because of it, he became a great king in many senses. There were senses in which David compromised and did things he ought not to have done. But he was a man after God's own heart, and he continued to seek forgiveness and the good pleasure of God. And God did bless him. It was out of David that the kingly line to the birth of Jesus was passed. And the birth of Jesus ties him directly to his ancestor, King David. Then there's Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 2, verse 50 through 52, Jesus, as a small child, had already dedicated. See, we're talking about dedicate now. He dedicated his life to the Father's business. In fact, he said to his parents and to his mother, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" But he went on back home with them. He had been in the temple debating and discussing with the doctors of the law of Moses. But he went on back home with them. And Luke 2 and verse 52 says that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I don't know how many memory verses were memorized this last year by the teenagers, boys and girls, in Lads to Leaders. Not all of them were teenagers. Some of them were 7, 8, 9-year-olds. They were memorizing scriptures and committing them to memory. Others were writing speeches pertaining to those scriptures to teach audiences. Others were learning Bible bowl information and digesting the scriptures. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and men. And our boys and girls are doing the same thing today. God has a right to expect that. And we need to dedicate everything that we've got to God. But moving along, God expects us not only to be dedicated, but he expects us to accept responsibility. There are some people that say they're too young. Don't put any responsibility on them. But I've had the good pleasure of taking teenagers, not all 12th graders either, some of them below that, to the Republic of Panama and knocking doors and helping do vacation Bible schools and doing puppet lessons in the schools. They let us into the public schools in Panama at that time. They may not now, but they would let us come in and teach Bible lessons. And our boys and girls learned their puppet parts in Spanish so that they could teach them to the little Spanish-speaking boys and girls down there. They were letting their light shine, and they were accepting responsibility to help in world evangelism. It may not have been mountain-moving, but it certainly was God-pleasing. God was pleased to see that these boys and girls were not ashamed to go out and tell other people about Jesus. They also had the capability back at home to help some of the adults in teaching the Bible classes. Our students need to be given more and more opportunities to train under our skilled teachers in the Bible. We have a lot of ladies who have taught for all of their lives after college years, some of them even going back into the high school years. It would be wonderful for our young children to be trained in how to be good teachers and accept that responsibility. There's areas of youth activities where the children can go visit the nursing homes, and they can, I know of two or three churches where they had a youth newsletter, and the youth edited it. Now, it had to be submitted for evaluation to make sure that it was all in keeping with the will of God. Adult sponsors supervised it, but the youth put out their own newsletter encouraging the children to make good choices in life. Youth can do a lot of things. Young people have tremendous ability that needs to be harnessed, and it needs to be shaped and molded and directed towards serving the Lord. Then we come to the matters of the visitation of the sick and those that are in the nursing homes. Those elderly people, when we get past this COVID problem, I hope that more and more of our people will go and just encourage those people. They want someone just to sit down and talk to them and listen to their stories of what it was like when they were young. It's a fascinating experience. There are so many things that young people can do that it is certainly wrong for us to say too much is being expected of them. They're just children. Let them act like children. Well, what are children supposed to act like? Jesus was a child, but he wasn't afraid to talk to other people about God and God's law. Daniel was a child, but he wasn't afraid to do God's bidding, and God blessed him. And so it was all the way through the stories of the Bible. We're not expecting too much out of our children when we expect them to learn early on how to love God, because God expects that. And they are pleasing God when they do remember him. I want to challenge you. We have three graduates this year, but we've got a whole host of young children coming up behind them. Remember God when you go out into the world. Don't say, thank God I'm through with all of that church business. Go out with the attitude, I thank God that I am equipped to make better choices than my friends out there who are getting so drunk that they're sick and throwing up all over the sidewalk and on and on and on and on. I thank God that I have been trained well. And I'm talking about you, not me personally. I hope that you can say, I thank God that my parents loved me enough to show me a better way of life. And I hope and pray that you will remember your years at Broad Street. We've only noticed a few things this morning that God expects of young folks. It's been obvious that the things that he expects to young people, he has a right to expect. That's extremely important. We all have a sin problem, and God has given us an answer to deal with it. But we've got to come on his terms. We need to remember our Creator while we're young, before we get old and set in our ways and can't be affected any longer. It's possible to go so long that your conscience doesn't bother you anymore. But if you start young enough, your conscience will be well trained. And number two, to dedicate yourself to setting your life apart to be used in some meaningful way to serve the Lord. And number three, accept responsibility. Those are words from God's Word that I hope will serve you well as you prepare to leave and go off into colleges and into the job market of the world. Today, as we sing a hymn of encouragement, I hope you noticed, older folks, that's us, that really everything that I said to them is applicable to you and me as well. We've got to continue in all of these things, and I hope that all of you have made good choices. But if there is anyone here today who has not obeyed the gospel, what a marvelous time for you to confess Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins and get on the right path of serving the Lord. We'll take time to assist you in that baptism with great delight. What a wonderful thing it would be today if you are a young person who has not obeyed the gospel, but you're old enough to be ready to stand up and defend Jesus. You're ready to accept responsibility. And if you're old enough to be ready to do that, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for you to confess Christ and be baptized in his name even now? But if you're extremely young, remember Jesus took the little child and set him on his lap and said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." Little children are born in a safe condition. It's only when they get old enough to start being mature enough to understand the difference between right and wrong and start having to make life decisions that they're ready to deal with their sin problem. So we're not rushing anyone in growing up too fast, but some of you have already done some growing up, and I hope you're ready today while we stand and while we sing.